Hey, this is Danny with Friend or Foe, and you're listening to the Local Music Revolution.
This is the local music revolution. Hello and welcome to the Local Music Revolution. I am your host, Ogre. How are you doing? It kind of sounded like I said hi to myself, so it's weird, but I'll leave it in just because I can. On this week's episode, we have 2 O'Clock Courage, which is out of LA, and they have some stories to tell, man. So it's funny how life works, because you meet people, and then they introduce you to other people. Everybody knows how friendship works. If you don't, then seriously, what's going on with you? So this show, which will contain this episode and next week's episode, was actually a show given to my friend Jacob Wilson, which you've heard multiple times on this show, and you will hear many more times on this show, because I love that guy very, very much. He is fantastic. Just a hard worker, knows exactly what he wants, and is infectiously amazing at everything he does. After every time I talk to this guy, I just want to move mountains because of him. And I have had some great opportunities because he has been gracious enough to help me out with them, and I can never thank him enough. He got this show and was able to work on this show because he had connections with Kaylee from Rivals, which has been on the show. And it kind of all interconnected, which I thought was extremely cool. And it all started because I did an interview at Barmageddon. And it was just, it was a great, great show of community that I saw. And I just wanted to state that before we got into anything. So, Jacob, Kaylee, if you guys hear this, you guys are both fantastic, and you guys are awesome, and yeah, just wanted to let everybody know that. If you really try hard, you can find them on social media. Currently, Jacob is in the band Center Path, which I highly suggest checking them out. I hear through the grapevine that things are moving forward with them in a great, great fashion. And of course, Rivals, they are a great band. You can actually look up on YouTube, Rivals doing a cover of Heathens from 21 Pilots, which is actually a really intense cover. So I would highly suggest checking out both of these individuals to make sure that, you're not missing out on the talent that they provide the world. As for the Local Music Revolution, you can get a hold of me, on all social media, guys. Seriously, like, I have a lot of free time on my hands. I would love to talk to you guys and learn from you. So, facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, on Twitter at TLMR Podcast, on Instagram at The Local Music Revolution, on Tumblr at tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, and then the almighty website, thelocalmusicrevolution.com. You can get a hold of me multiple ways on that website, so check it out. Get back to me, let me talk to you, and let me see if you have any suggestions on new bands I could get up here on this show. If you're wondering how you can listen to the show on a different plane, that's actually very easy. What you can do is you can go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, along with any other podcast catcher I can think of. If it's not on there, let me know and I'll make sure that it is. However, I really do think you should go check out Longbox.fm. We are a proud member of Longbox.fm network, and I just really want you guys to check out these other podcasts that are on there. That movie podcast is a great one. Of course, I've been speaking just every time I can about Firefly Podcast. I saw the show, I saw the movie, I became enamored with it, and then they put out a podcast in that world, which I am just crazy about. I think it's amazing. Of course, there's also the Kick and then the Dirty Dowdy podcast that you can listen to episodes on. If you want to help out, I highly suggest going and checking out how you can be a sponsor, donate to that cause, because Longbox.fm is also a radio station, an internet radio station. So they do have operating costs and everything like that. So go see what you can do. You will not be disappointed. You will hear some great music. You'll hear some great podcasts, some great personalities, and you will make me look like a rock star to the network. So yeah, go check it out. I also have to tell you about stringjoy.com. They have been on the majority of these episodes that I've put out, and they'll be on many more. Stringjoy.com is a string company out of Nashville, Tennessee. I highly suggest checking them out, because if you're a guitarist, you need strings, and they make strings. So it's kind of like a perfect fit for you if you don't already understand that. However, the thing that's different about StringJoy is the fact that they make custom sets of strings for guitarists. It's not like an Ernie Ball or a competitor where you have a preset package of strings. However, you can do that, but they can customize strings, sets of strings for you. And they will work with you to find the best one for you. So your playing will become exactly what it's meant to be from your head. So I highly do suggest doing that. That is stringjoy.com once again. And all you have to do is go check it out and enter the promo code LOCAL at the checkout, and you'll get a discount for being a listener of the Local Music Revolution. Now, this is 2 O'Clock Courage from LA, and again, it was just a really, really good interview. These guys are awesome. My wife even got to meet them after the interview and hang out for a little bit, so it was really, really awesome. And the interview was just a stellar way to kick, to end the night. So here is 2 O'Clock Courage.
All right,
I'm here with the guys from 2 O'Clock Courage. How are you guys doing?
Great.
What's up? We're
fantastic.
Good.
What was it, like 45 minutes of just sitting here? And
yeah. We did a whole podcast already.
Yeah.
You should have heard.
There's nothing else to talk about.
It's okay. We'll figure it out.
We'll start a new band. It's all right.
All right, so
now, 3 O'Clock Courage.
Who do we have here in the room with us, and what do you do in the band?
Ryan, play guitar.
Dave, play guitar.
James, I sing.
Brandon, and I play drums.
Super awesome. So you guys did an acoustic set tonight. So why was it an acoustic set?
We had a bass player who, I guess he pretty much decided he was in college still. So yeah.
He wanted to be in the music video.
Yeah, but he wanted to be in our music video.
Yeah,
so he told us after that was done. And then he was like, yeah, man, I'm still in college. And I was like, so you can't go on tour for 3 weeks?
Well, I can do, like,
that's what
days,
we're about to do.
And then I can't do the fourth. We're like,
yeah. And then after that, we replaced him with another guy who we don't know where he is now. We still, like, he's literally supposed to be here on Monday of the week before when we left.
And never showed
and,
up.
Yeah, we hope he's okay, honestly. We haven't heard from him. Like,
but we weren't about to cancel this, so we
figured
out.
At the last minute, we're like, fuck it, we'll just do an acoustic.
So if you're the bassist, just let them know you're okay.
Yeah, well,
please, someone contact
me. And, like, he was down. Like, he was so, so down. And then, we started calling him, and
his friend called him,
the kid that, like, hooked us up with him.
He met him through a mutual friend, and, I kind of met him through a mutual friend. I don't know how to stop hearing from him.
And he's like a pro bass player. Like, he played in other bands. Like, we don't want to obviously say who it was, but
a big band.
He's like a pretty big band, and, like, he just never came to LA.
Why?
He's like, literally, like, on
he
Monday.
Was on his way.
On Monday,
he's
like,
I'm
like, Ryan,
way.
Where's this guy? And then he'll be like,
what, Friday?
Yeah.
Did he get lost in the desert or something?
I don't know.
We don't know, man. Yeah, like, we legitimately were worried about it for a little while, but I guess
they went from I'm on my way to no answer. 4 or 5 days before we left.
Like, yeah. And then at the last minute, we left on Saturday morning, and on Friday night, we had this kid come in who, like, literally had, in 2 hours, like, tried to learn as much as he could, and we were just like, listen, like, you know, we'll talk when we get back about, like, long-term bass playing, but it just, like, wasn't going to work on that short of notice, so we were like, fuck it, acoustic for the first time ever, and here we
are.
Wow. Yeah, it wasn't, like, everybody was kind of bummed, but we made the best of it. Like, we, you know, got it. you gotta just keep a smile. We filmed a lot of shit and we climbed mountains and played on top of a mountain.
Fucking huge mountain.
We all got altitude sickness yesterday.
Awful.
Everybody, we all got altitude sickness. We climbed to the top of Crater Lake.
Crater Lake, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like 11,000 feet or 10,000 feet high, and above 8,000 apparently. I learned all this on Wikipedia when I was driving and felt like I was dying. Apparently, it's like the symptoms are like it's a hangover. Like, and everybody when we played the show was like exhausted and was nauseous.
Still tired.
Yeah. So we gave ourselves altitude sickness, and it was crazy because it was only like we only had to walk up this hill, and it wasn't even steep grade, and it was only like
it was steep.
It was
really steep. On the record, let me say when we pulled up to this mountain, I'm like, James, this is gonna take 40 minutes. He goes, your laser eyes?
This is going to take 5 minutes.
It was not that
30
far
minutes into it. We're not even halfway there.
But, like, the altitude, we never had fucked with that high of an altitude before. So, like, every 10 feet, we were, like, dying.
We're carrying gear.
He's got his drum kit. We're like,
he's like, the view will be beautiful. It's glorious.
It wasn't even as good as where we started.
But we did
go that's the worst part.
And it was 20 times colder.
Yeah, so eventually we're gonna put out a video of us half dead on a mountaintop. So. Yeah. That'll come out.
That is fantastic. Yeah. I want to know when that happens.
Yeah, we have it on our phones. We can send it to you.
We'll shoot
it over to you when we're done. It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
But like it was beautiful where we started too. Like
freezing.
Oh yeah, that was the other thing. The sun went down and it got like to freezing and like we couldn't.
We were literally running.
My hands were like just not moving.
We did one song and then after they were like, dude, we can't play the guitar anymore. And I was like, fine. I'll do a song. Like, and so I like was gonna do one by myself, and I just got half there and I was just like, hey, say, oh, okay, this is fucking not gonna work. And we just went back down the mountain. Was it? So we hiked up this thing for like an hour just to play for like 5 minutes, and then it fell apart in our hands.
That is brutal.
Yeah, but I think we're the only band to hike to the top of Crater Lake and play a set. So
yeah, definitely.
We're gonna put that shit out and hopefully.
So National Geographic, if you're listening, you should sign us.
Get at me. Yeah.
Yeah, because they have record labels now.
Sponsor us at least.
We've always said we want to be on Cash Money. That's my goal. I want to be the first punk band on Cash Money Records.
That'll never happen.
Dude, it'd be so thug.
Well,
I'm
that
telling.
Attitude.
We could tour with Drake. Come on, baby.
Climb mountains with Drake. It'd be great.
Have views from the six.
Dude, I had a conversation with one of my coworkers about Kanye, about how like people think he's a genius, but he's really not.
He's an evil genius.
I don't know what's going on there.
Sure. Well, now he's like he's completely lost it. You see that now he puts records up on Tidal and he changes them. Like, so you might listen to the song 1 week and then you go back and listen to it and it's have like a different verse or like a different beat.
Really?
He just like will edit the song however he pleases and he uses Tidal to like do it. It's like his thing now. That The Life of Pablo came out like that. Like it was released like 30 whatever times before it was the final version. He just kept changing it and changing it and changing it. That's crazy. I would love to do that. I would love to just go back and just be like,
never mind.
Let me just replace a couple songs in this record real quick.
So speaking of that, you guys do have a full length. How many records do you have all together?
We have
an EP.
We have a 7-song EP. We have a 5-song EP and a full length. So when I joined the band, they had written 3 songs, and we worked on 2 more together, and that was the first EP. That was 2009. Then we did a 7-song EP in either 11 or 12, and we recorded this full length in 2014, but we released it this year. We sat on it for a long, long time.
Is there a reason why you sat on it?
We were shopping it around. We knew a lot of people that we thought were going to help us out that just didn't help us at all, you know. And like just said they were gonna, and then finally we were in LA and we're just like, fuck it, we'll just put this stupid record out.
Not to mention the whole relocation.
And we moved across the country. We lived in Connecticut.
Connecticut to LA.
Yeah, so we drove across the country and moved to LA last year and put it out when we got here. And We were trying to shop it, but, you know, no one likes pop punk anymore, so we're going to work on that.
It's coming back.
It really is, dude. Fucking State Champs, all those bands.
I have heard so much pop punk here in the Valley, it's not even funny anymore.
I think it's coming back. It's super popular, like, with bands, just not with fans. Like, I always say that bands need to be more fans. Like, you know, like, it's hard. Like, not everybody's meant to play in a band, so everybody's got to just be like, okay, you know, I'm in a band, but I'm also, like, a big-time fan, you know? Like, that's kind of how we operate. Like, we're all fucking fans.
You need to be a fan first.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, how are you going to write fucking tunes, you know? It's like, if you're just listening to your own shit, you're just, like...
Now, to be completely honest, there was a point this year where apparently Blink-182 put out a CD. I didn't know they put out a CD until Best Buy was like, hey, they put out a CD.
Yeah.
And that was 2.5 weeks after they put out the CD. And today was the first time I saw that CD in the store.
Yeah.
So something's going on with that.
Yeah.
Who's going into the store and buying CDs nowadays?
Yeah, so you want to hear a crazy story? I read this article.
Yeah, normal people should.
Like, I'm always, I'm one to, like, if I love a band, I will buy their CD still. I'll buy it on iTunes at least.
Dude, I bought a CD today from the band. I think it's Carnifex.
I've heard of them, yeah.
From Nuclear Blast Records, because they're on Nuclear Blast.
Yeah.
That's why I bought it.
Yeah.
That's dope.
I wish people still did that, man. Yeah, I remember, like, people would just buy... You used to be able to buy full catalogs from record labels. Like,
oh.
Nowadays, they have, like, programs where you can get, like, 3 of their records a month or whatever. I think that's so fucking genius. Like, if I ran a label, that's what I would do. I would just sell my whole catalog. Just, like, you want to buy whatever, it's like, here's... You know, every month you get $10 worth of music. Just buy the whole catalog. You know, and the next month, if you like another band, you download their record next month. But like, there has to be like another way to distribute music on in mass, because it's so like, we get like thousands of plays on Spotify, and we make like $60 or $50 a month.
Really?
Yeah, and it's fucking pointless. Like, over the lifetime of all of our records on Spotify, we've made a handful of dollars. But like, when we did our, I always tell people this story because it just shows what happened like over the last like 7 years. When we did our first record, which is a terrible like chugcore, synthcore, pop punk record with like a completely different lineup, it was just like literally me and 4 other guys. We made, between that 5-song EP and the 7-song EP, we made double digits. Like, we made like $12,000, I think, on those 2 records, just in album sales. So like, we were able to buy a van with that. We were able to fund both those records with record sales. We were able to pay for our full length with record sales, buy all of our merch with record sales. And we put this record out, we made like $1,000. You know, like, it's been streamed like more times than it was the other records were downloaded, but there's just no money.
See, this argument could go on forever, but my view on
it's
it is we need tastemakers in music.
Yeah.
Like, do you know anything about like the video, like how VHS was like succumbed by DVD and then Blu-ray? Do you know how that happened? Adult film.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is fucking porn, dude. Everything is driven by porn. Seriously.
Well, the thing is, they're like, this is a new format. So the new format, if it catches on in adult film, it actually catches on in everything else. We don't have that unless you count iTunes and Spotify.
Right, yeah.
And those are two different, you know, mediums that are just screwing the shit out of
bands. Even like Bandcamp.
So if we can get a porn star to wear our shirt,
I think you're misunderstanding that story. We will blow up.
Probably.
I think you misunderstood that story. It was the video format was the way that was going.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
You'll get there.
One of the drivers of like the VR industry right now is porn. Like, because like fucking VR porn is gonna change the world.
And
people
are
just never
going
to leave their houses.
No way.
Well, the problem is, like, we need a tastemaker like that, that people can latch onto like that.
But, like, what's the idea? Because, like, people can't figure it out, so they went back to vinyl. Like, people are like, fuck, we can't figure out how to get people buy our music. Might as well make vinyl again.
Which, like, sort of caught on, but not, like, to enough people.
Well, I think allowing the customer to buy one song at a time is what was detrimental.
Yeah.
I really think that right there was just like, damn, you're done. Because even back in the day, singles had 2 to 3 songs on it.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to put out a book. Like, so you get, it's like you buy the book, but you, like, the record comes with the book, like a digital download. Like, fuck pressing records. It's so pointless nowadays. Like, literally everybody, like, has CDs and they're just coasters. Like, there's, you know, my brother, like, he was like, dude, this is how we're going to make millions of dollars. We got to figure out how to recycle CDs. And I was like, good luck. I don't even know how to fucking make a webpage. You know, like, I can't figure out how to do a company.
It's a shame. It was like, not to be nostalgic, like, going into, like, fucking Target and places like that and buying a CD was, like, fun when you were younger.
I still got that.
That was the best.
Just pick one. Like, for like,
you got like an allowance from your parents, and you go buy directly to buy
an allowance from your parents.
Oh, I used to, yeah.
I didn't.
Damn.
I still go. I go to Fresno specifically to go to Rasputin's. And I'll stay there for like 4 or 5 hours just going through the CDs.
Perusing.
Yeah, because it's...
They have like the headphones just racked up.
Yeah.
Did you guys test it out?
Watch High Fidelity.
We're from the East Coast. Did you guys have strawberries out here? Was strawberries like a thing?
I don't even know what that is.
Strawberries is like
the
old FYE.
Sam Goody.
Like, it used to be called strawberries.
Dude, there was an FYE in the next town over And they cleared $1 million the year that they shut down. And do you want to know why? Because the mall was like, oh, we need a Forever 21, and they want your spot.
Yeah.
I'm like, you just gave up $1 million sales, like a store for $1 million sales.
Well, Forever so the 21 Forever 21. $10 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not like, in that space, man. No.
Because I remember, like, in our mall back home, FYE would have, like, buy one, get three free for, like, CDs and shit like that.
Yes.
It's, like, fucking unreal.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's the reason why people, like, some people are starting to like just buy CDs again and starting just to buy records again because like people were just like, fuck
might
it.
Well.
Here's what you buy 11, you buy one, get 11 CDs because they just couldn't sell them. You know, because like Napster was just like literally, remember in the heyday of Napster, you could just like look up anything.
Dude, I watched anything. A documentary on Napster and they're like, we just wanted to do this. And I'm like,
you
screwed
just
up
everybody,
an entire industry
yeah.
because you wanted to do
but
your
you know
thing.
What? It was bound to happen. It was bound to happen.
Well, the thing is, people talk about, they talk about theft, you know, stealing like digital downloads and stuff. The problem is they don't understand tape trading back in the day. That was the same thing.
Yeah.
They don't
like
sitting
mix it. Dude, I remember I would tape shit off the radio.
Yes.
I had a karaoke.
Yes.
I had a karaoke.
Yes.
I had vivid memories of sitting in my room waiting for like hours for
like,
that Maroon 5 song to come on.
Yeah, and
I don't mind spending every day. And like I had my finger like above the play button because I didn't want to miss the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Dude, Drowning Pool Bodies, the first time that I did that was Drowning Pool Bodies. I was done. I was like, this is a thing.
I single-handedly made Linkin Park blow up in my high school because Radio 104 played the record front to back, and they like advertised the time they were gonna do it, and I taped it and I burnt it to CDs. Fucking Hybrid Theory, baby. Dude, such a good record.
That was a good record. A really good record,
God.
Man.
Oh, it's still good.
I think I might
it
know
really
the whole
is.
Paper cut
yeah, everything after
good.
That, I can't get into.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, but like they had
too.
A couple singles like Shadow of the Day was really good.
Yeah.
That came out recently or whatever. They had a couple ones, and then the one they did after that was alright.
They're a timeless band, I think. They're gonna go.
And then they had Remember the Executioners. They like used to collab with
the
Executioners.
Dude,
the
one with Wayne
fire.
Static in the video.
Yep.
Oh my gosh,
dude,
that song! I have that song on my iPod. That's the only Executioners song I have.
And they're still sitting on that money. That's why they can tour the way they do.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? All
but
those
they still
bands,
sell out fucking arenas. Like even
nostalgia,
fire,
man.
Yeah. They're so good,
always.
Dude. I remember like everybody had like the Static X hair in high school, like the fucking standing
straight
up hair.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean they don't even have a comparable sound. Though. I can't like think of a
dude. Danger Kids,
like,
Danger Kids,
Danger
is
Kids
is
the closest one.
Yeah,
we played it,
yeah.
But there's been a bunch of them. It's just that nobody does it as well. You know, Linkin
yeah.
Park
but
is
the
OG.
They've been in the game.
Oh yeah. Yeah, with a rapper like rock music that had electronic.
Yeah, rap rock. Remember
like
but even like Linkin Park was in the same genre. They just you know. Or, I'm sorry, not Linkin Park. Limp Bizkit. Like that was the same fucking thing. Yeah, they had a DJ and rock guitarist, and they had a rapper. What was different?
Yeah.
They just didn't have a screamer. You know?
Well, the difference was like the Undertaker used Roland
for
a long time in wrestling. So yeah, Limp Bizkit kind of got a little bit bigger.
Dude, I used to write Limp Bizkit on every binder I had.
I love
everyone.
I could not stand Limp Bizkit.
Dude, I remember one of the. I loved Limp Bizkit so much, but it had parental advisory on it. My parents.
I had the edited CD.
I had to buy Now 3 just so I could listen to Nookie over and over again because
I had
Now 3.
I
swear to God,
I had the edited Significant Other CD.
Dude,
the edited so big. So shut the. Oh, and take that shit back, because all that whack. Like, and I was like,
yeah,
okay,
was so
okay. The best edited CD I've ever owned, and I still own it, and I still love it, is the Korn Greatest Hits. Because Adidas, when he says sex or humping, like, he does this, like, weird vocal thing. Like, it's an entire take, and he'll just make weird noises
instead of saying the actual
thing. And I'm like, oh, my God, because it sounds like he's having an orgasm when he says humping.
Yeah.
Like, his voice shakes and everything like that. And I'm like, oh, my God, dude, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, one of the best edited songs is the edited version of Ride With Me by Nelly. Like, even when you listen to
the
explicit
the
version,
radio.
I still
oh
do, like,
God.
The puppet like it. We just took it, but you know, like, he does, like, mouth sounds instead. And he'd be like, money in the club, me and your friends, you know, show do you want to pop into it, like, instead of fucking swearing and shit like that.
What's fun with that editor having that song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, just sitting in his room, just fucking stoned to shit, doing whatever the fuck he wanted to this Nelly track. I'm gonna look up who's the producer on that.
All right, man. So that was a nice little tangent.
That was
really nice.
Now we know
yes, now we know what this is.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So you guys are on tour, and I did interview
Overdrive. They're awesome dudes.
We love that. So
love them.
The fact that you guys are going on tour, you guys said it was 8 days, right?
Yep.
Eight days?
We love all right. Tour.
So what was your motivation behind doing an eight-day tour?
We have to do like the three-week one at the end of the month, and we wanted to just make sure that the van would make it and that we wouldn't kill each other and that we could, you know, it's like a warm-up tour. It's, you know, the same way you kind of do anything. But we just didn't want to get out on a massive three-week tour with bands that would say that we were amateurs and, you know, not have been warmed up properly and, you know, used to sweating and used to sleeping in the van. And we...
We did it.
Yeah, yeah, we did okay.
And a little bit more, but it definitely was.
Yeah, it was a tough one. Bad. It was a lot of driving. There's like a 12-hour drive in there, and we should have planned better on our end. But we're here. You know, we're gonna drive home after this, and we'll be in our own beds finally for the next 3 weeks, and then we're gone again.
So you guys are located in LA, correct?
Yep.
So, and you guys did, I believe you mentioned it on the recording, you did the whole, you know, moving to LA to try to...
Yep, work in the industry kind of thing.
So how's that, like, what was it, do you feel it was a good idea for your musical process, or was it something that could have been foregone?
Well, we wouldn't have met Ryan and Brandon if we didn't. So, like, this current lineup, me and Dave moved out here together. And then we met Ryan and Brandon actually on Craigslist, and now we're BFFs. But that was a year ago, and
I think it was a good move. I mean, the LA has more people here that are doing the same thing we are than there are fans. But the things we've done and the people we've met, and I don't think it ever would have happened in Connecticut. Like the tour we're about to go on, I don't think that would have ever happened if we were stuck in.
It's hard to think of a place that it would have happened easier or better. Like there's not like another scene.
Yeah, and we still run into people, like, literally, we'll run into fucking all-time low if we go to the riff. Like, we run into everybody. And, like, we have tons of friends, like, out here that are in the scene and are already working out here. And, like, honestly, it's kind of, it would be far more productive, like, if we had gotten a little more distance, like, under this record already, but we only released it in May. And so we're only like a couple months into it, and now we're doing our first tour to support it, and we're already like, you know, F that record. We're trying to write another record. We did that record 2 years ago, you know? So we're kind of like at the point where we're going to start utilizing LA a little more, like after this tour. Like it'll start paying off a little more now that we'll have our name out there a little more. Because like we run into people all the time, we'll be like, yo, we should play shows together. And they're like, yeah, like, what are you guys doing? So like now we can be like, yeah, we're going on tour with Alisana, you know, we're doing a big tour. So now hopefully. That'll do what we hope it does. You know, if not, we'll probably all kill ourselves and
you know.
So do you guys all have like normal real people jobs?
Yeah.
Like, kind of.
I don't mean to insult you if I did.
No.
Like,
we all work.
We have LA jobs. So Ryan is a photographer in a bar back, I think, or something.
Yeah, I work in a bar.
Yeah, so he does the bar thing. Dave is a plumber.
Yeah.
I don't know what Brandon does, really, honestly. He's a barback too, apparently. But he does pretty well for a barback. And I work for YouTube Network. I do like talent management for YouTube Network. Yeah. So I mean, I'm on paid vacation right now. It's not so bad. I was supposed to be in Seattle, but instead we played this tour, because dedication, baby. But you know, I'm gonna see if they're gonna let me work from the road, because it's not hard to do what I do. You know, it's. I'm punching the clock for the most part at that place. I hope they listen to this. And but you know,
I'll edit it out.
No, it's really okay. They know, and well, they don't really know I'm about to leave for 3 weeks. But we're trying to get like more into music. So like I'm pushing them to be like, hey, you know, let me be your feet on the ground and that kind of thing. And a couple of the people they hired are like already. Come from the music industry, used to work at Atlantic Records and stuff like that. So
is this actually a legitimate like YouTube?
Yeah, it's
branch?
Called it's called Machinima. It's Machinima is the name of the YouTube network. Shout out Machinima, what's up? I have like 30-40 people there. I do like their management for and help them stay on track and make money, make sure they get paid and resolve issues and whoa. Stuff like that. So ever since I started working there, actually, anybody listening to this podcast, get your YouTube shit straightened out, like. If I can explain to you, I don't know if I'm legally allowed to, but let me just tell you that some of the richest people in entertainment are YouTube stars.
And
like,
they're like not like they 18 make, years old, 20 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, no, they are 18 years old.
Yeah, it's insane.
And like They're making more money than LeBron James, like literally. PewDiePie makes more money than LeBron James makes. PewDiePie makes $20 to $30 million a month.
I don't know who that is, which is
how does that happen?
Yeah.
So they say that PewDiePie's reach, and this could all obviously be fact checked after the fact, because I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head, but they say that he reaches more people when he tweets or posts a video than anyone else on planet Earth.
What does he do on YouTube?
He plays video games. And he posts them, and he goes, PewDiePie! That's like his famous voice. And he literally is like one of the richest people in the world, and it's all just from video games. Because what happens is when you get 50 million people that watch your video when you post it, every brand wants to put an ad in front of that. So that drives the price up. So now it's like one view, like on a normal CPM, which is like the payment scale, one view is normally 0.002 cents, like roughly. Or maybe it's 0.0002 cents, but it's very small. Like he's getting his payments are probably like 0.1, you know, like a tenth of a cent. And so 10 views is a penny. If you're getting 50 million, you know, do the math. One video is millions of dollars that he posts. And like obviously, like I tell everybody, like he's got to pay a percentage of that to his lawyer. He's got to pay a percentage of that to whoever else is working with him, his editor, his this, his that. But then he makes an appearance, he gets X amount of money. People will be like, hey, here's $200,000. Can you do 3 tweets for me? And he'll tweet out just, oh, I love this brand. This is a great brand. And that is money in his pocket. So it's called like influencer marketing. And so influencer marketing is like what everybody dumps money into these days. Because it's point to point. You can tell what demographic people are watching. You can focus on certain people. YouTube is out of fucking control with the money. So like I had no idea about any of that till I started working at this company. And like now I'm trying to get our YouTube straight. Like we spent half this trip filming stuff because of it. Like, if you're a band and you're listening, get your YouTube channel right. Like,
yeah.
So you just answered my next question. Yeah. Was you're pouring your knowledge into the band to
yeah. Well, you got it. Like that's why we came to LA. It's like learn. You know, it's to be closer to it. Because when you're from Connecticut, there ain't shit happening there. Like there's no industry meetups or no. You're not gonna run into like a good promoter or anything like that at a venue. People that are good from Connecticut already moved to LA. You know, like they already got out of here. You know, we have good friends that already came here a long time ago. So, I mean, if you're gonna do anything, you gotta learn from it. Like, just being out here, Dave worked for a big time record label doing songwriting just from going to a party and bumping into somebody, and was like, you know, check out our shit, and they were like, we like it, you should help us out and write for, you know, this person. And it's like none of it's like released, so I don't think we can say anything. But and so like that literally happened just bumping into somebody at a party. He went to a party with our friend and, you know, did some things with the people, and they were like, "What up? You're a cool guy." Yeah, you know, did some partying with the people. But like out here, partying is networking. Like in LA, like you go to a party.
But there's a 24-hour window.
Yeah, like that's the other thing.
It's like if you meet this person and they want to help you, you have 24 hours to like make that happen, or they're gone forever. That's it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like you have to follow up right away, or it was just.
We used to be so much when we first came out here. We would go and just go to these bars and just like be like, "What do you do? Who are you? Hey, hi!" And just party all night until like 5 a.m. until everybody left, and then we'd be like, "Good day."
Yeah.
Made some connections, you know. And like now we're lazy about it because it's like the LA thing just happens so fast. Like you go from being an out of towner to an LA person. Like when we first got here, we would drive all over the city. We would drive 10 hours one way. We didn't care. It was all so close. And now we've been here a year. We're like, oh man, this girl's like down to get down, but she's like in the valley.
In Santa
like,
Monica.
Fuck that.
8 miles away. No.
Yeah. I used to drive. I used to drive like 60 miles to get it in when I was back home. You know, it's like now out here, it's like I won't even go 5. But
60 miles. Huh?
So what's the most valuable thing that you've actually learned since you've been in LA?
Don't trust anybody.
No, not that. No, I mean, people in LA aren't as bad as people make them out to be. Like, everybody out there is really nice and wants to help if they can.
Motive.
But I think that what
people they either are really nice and they really will help, or they're fake as shit and they're gonna tell you they want to help you. And
yeah,
they don't care.
I think the number one thing we learned in LA is that a lot of people are like professionally, they're just like skin deep.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, like even us to a certain extent, like you know, we're just a band. You know, we're just a fucking 5 dudes. Like we're not anything special. But like,
now.
You know, we don't have like, we haven't made that much ground yet. And but like, there's bands out here that like ain't shit. and they walk around and they're like, oh, dude, whatever. But I'm like, when's the last show that fucking band played? Like, yeah. What the fuck? You know, like, when's the last time they fucking did anything? And on top of that, it's like, you also, I would say the number one thing I learned about LA is that, like, celebrity is so fickle. Like, people, we've run into A-list celebrities, we've been to, like, famous people's houses, and they are not cool. Like, they're usually they're usually just not that cool. You know, they shouldn't be famous, they're not that talented, they're usually just good-looking people, they got a handout. And I would say that that's, like, uniformly true across the board, 1,000%. Like, I will run into people that I worshipped and, like, was like, you're a fucking god, and you talk to them, and you're like, you're fucking so dumb. Like, and it's, I have no problem saying that because there's not one person I'm specifically talking about. It's just everybody, you know, everybody that's doing it. It's like you, when you're on the East Coast, you think everybody's a god. Like, I thought everybody was untouchable and you'd never meet them.
It is eye-opening. Like, when you're not in LA, you think it's a different world. Like,
New
Jersey,
Like, we can literally, we've gone to the bar and, like, fucking Khloe Kardashian was there and, like, all, like, what was that one that we went to the Rocks? Like, it was, like, all A-list celebrities in there. And, like, you bump into them and talk to them, and they're just, like, small, like, tiny. Like, all these famous people are just so physically small. They're, like, 5'2", and you're, like, what the hell? You're Selena Gomez? Like, what?
They're talking about Ryan's girl.
How far? Are we going to get...
No, but she was so, like normal looking when you think that they're, like, these glossy people. And, like, you meet them, and you're, like, you're just... normal.
Or they're, like, completely ridiculous and doing the insane drugs all night that you would
never
think.
That's the other thing. It's like the drugs in LA are out of control.
I've seen the
it's like
one of the biggest rock bands. He's a little kid, I will not say who, but doing the most drugs I've ever seen in my
life. ODing, going to the hospital, coming back, and just keep going. Like, in one night.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And like, it's, but that's like, that's the craziest, the cult of celebrity is so not what you think it is until you go to LA and you realize that, like, you can just walk up to a celebrity in LA and just be like, yo, what up? You know, like, they might not have any of it. Like, they might just be like, fuck are you? You know, but, like, they are so normal. Like, they don't glow. They don't have halos. Like, they're not good usually at what they do. They just have great teams. You know, they just have, they figured it out. Like, they're better business people. That's really usually what it is. You know, like, again, it's like you don't want to say people, but, like, so many times you just meet people and they're unimpressive.
Yeah.
You know?
I did really piss off the guy from basketball, the little tiny guy, Screech.
Yeah?
Screech.
We played a show at the Knitting Factory, and there's that little convenience store right in front of the front door right there.
Yeah.
And we were walking by, and I seen him in the, get, like, in line for the cash register, and some fucking guy that we were with, he was like, dude, Screech, little bitch, Scolari. And he just gave us the meanest look I've ever seen somebody give us. And he put his shit down and fucking walked away. He didn't even buy what he was buying.
Right, he left the store.
It's so weird. And, like, because the number one sad story that goes around LA is the guy that was the Shermanator in
American
Pie.
Yeah.
He, like, works at a restaurant in
sushi restaurant in Santa Monica.
In Santa Monica. And like, people just go and take pictures of him. It's just so all the pictures are so sad. Because that's it. That's, like, all he ever got. He, like, never got another gig, I guess. I don't know.
I was at the bar with McLovin, and McLovin goes, yo, do you like my band on Facebook? I'm like, are you kidding me? You need me to like your band on Facebook?
Yeah. Christopher Mintz Plasse.
He's a fucking rad dude.
It's crazy because it's like in LA, you just run into these people and they're just like trying to hang out. Like, most of these dudes can't, like, pull, you know, they don't, you think that they're a celebrity and they're, like, running around with troops of women. People will, like, celebrities will, like, hang out with people if they can, like, if they think that they can hook up with your friends. And you're just like, man, we're regular guys too, you know? We're, you know?
I'd really like to know the stats on how many times you cock-block this celebrity.
That's the other thing is, like, you know, the people celebrity chase in LA too, like, especially the women. There was that story that came out yesterday where, like, they haven't said who the people were yet, but these two girls, like, smoke shows, just drugged these two guys in the club, took them back to their place, took their Rolexes, took everything, peaced out.
Savage.
Yeah,
it wasn't
even their place. It was an Airbnb. and that was the story that came out yesterday. But, like, that's the number one thing I learned about LA is that famous people aren't anything special.
Did you guys have anything else? Did you guys learn hard lesson or anything like that?
I haven't heard a hard lesson yet.
LA would drain you financially.
Financially,
and
yeah.
Parking tickets alone.
Parking
tickets.
Shall
we talk about?
Yeah, I paid $1,700 in parking tickets after the first 6 months of being here.
Dear God.
It is brutal.
And I could not get out of them. And no lawyer in all of California would represent me in the case. And I called the California Bar Association. And they're like, yeah, okay, we'll call you back if we can find anybody. And they're like, no one will help you. And I just had to pay it. It's crazy.
That is.
They towed a van and trailer three fucking times, four fucking times actually. They put it on a fucking flatbed and towed it four times off the streets from in between cars. Unbelievable. They are ruthless out here. It's so hardcore. I couldn't believe it. West Hollywood Parking Authority, fuck you. Fuck you. I literally, there was like a couple times out of frustration, I just called him and screamed at somebody on the other line. It's because like, I was like, I can't.
One of the first nights we were here, though, James and I went to the House of Blues before it closed on the Sunset Strip. And a kid we met.
Oh, you can't tell that story, dude.
No, I'm not going to say it. But so a kid I knew back from Jersey who ended up being on The Voice. No one knows his name. But his friend said, something terrible will happen to you in L.A. One bad thing is going to just ruin everything. And that night it happened to him. But it hasn't happened to us yet, and I'm scared to death because I think if it happens, it's going to be terrible.
I want to know that story off the record. I really do.
Off the record.
I really want to know.
He was on the show, and he did real well. So it's like hard. You can't really say his name.
Yeah, definitely can't say his name.
Yeah. But like we went out with him, and he was like just super young, and he was like, no, I didn't have that much money, so I was just buying him drinks all night. And he was like, oh, I can drink with you. And I was like, all right. Both the lights went out on both of us,
so
man.
It was so bad. It was awful. It was our third night in LA.
I fell asleep in Carney's on Sunset Boulevard and got thrown out.
I fell into the bushes.
I made the Uber driver. I fell in the bushes.
It was, oh my God.
I made the Uber driver pull over twice so I could puke.
And then
he I'm such a polite puker, though. I was like, excuse me, sir.
I must vomit.
And then actually, you know what? He told me no, and I threw up in his car. I just savaged, just puked on the floor.
Did you?
Yeah.
Dude, I went out drinking with one of my buddies, and this was before the whole, you know, we do die at some point.
Yeah.
And we got messed up, and he goes, and we're like in a drive-thru for Jack in the Box, because if you're drunk, Jack in the Box is great.
I fuck with Jack in the Box.
Right?
Yeah.
And so
I'm going to take off and get a beer real quick. I'll be back.
Go ahead.
Hey, you want to grab one for me over here?
But we're like in the drive-thru, and he's at the window.
Love you, boo.
And he opens his door, and all you hear is just splash.
Yeah.
Right? Just splash. He closes his door. He goes like this, and he goes, sup, man? And I'm like, you are the biggest badass I've ever met.
You get along so well.
I didn't rally.
What happened to you?
Yeah, last night. Dude, I straight up
in Portland.
In Portland.
Threw up right outside of the
he
car.
He comes back in. He's like, "Yeah, let's go."
Yeah, I was bobbing and weaving all night.
A nice girl let us stay at her house with
Angel.
Her roommate.
Yeah.
And Angel, she was
very nice lady.
You just got out of her car. She drove us home to and
from the bar.
And you got out and puked all over her parking.
Yeah, who cares? It rains in Portland.
True.
Bam.
If I puked in L.A., it would be there forever. You know? I'm pretty sure everywhere I've puked in L.A., it's still there. I've puked in some crazy spots. I puked at your house.
Turned out to be my boss came to my house. He smoked things.
I smoke all kinds of things, baby.
Yeah.
And then he goes around the corner of my door, and he just throws up in this little weird patch of dirt, right? For 3 weeks, that little patch had it there. And I was like, I told him, like, when I saw him the next time, and I'm like, dude, like, I don't know why it's still there. I don't want to touch it. I'm afraid of it, but it's there.
Can you cover it up, you know?
You got to get him covered up.
Yeah, dude, the whole it's literally rained once since we've been in a year since we've been in L.A.
Jeez,
man.
I haven't seen it rain longer than, like, half an hour.
Yeah.
So
it felt great the other day.
Seriously, man? Like,
I miss the rain.
I love the rain here.
I love it, too. I miss it real bad.
When it rains here, man, when I was a kid, it would be gray for, like, 2.5 weeks. There would be no sun.
Wow.
It would be just rain and fog and rain.
It's crazy how shit changes like that, man. It's because, like, we're in Connecticut, like, consistently growing up, we had snow every winter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 3 feet of snow, and you could literally ski in your front yard if you wanted.
I could do without snow, but, dude, sometimes you just want, like, it's like, I don't feel doing shit. That's what it was raining.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I just want a rainy fucking Sunday.
The last time it snowed was in 1999.
Here?
I believe
here.
It.
In this town, 1999.
You're kidding.
It was one bastard day, and then I believe before that, it was 20 years.
Dude, global warming is a real fucking real deal.
Like,
that's crazy.
California is legitimately in a drought, and we're all sorts of messed up, dude.
Yeah.
That's still crazy.
You can go look at the reservoir in LA, and it's like fucked. It's so low.
Dude, like, you could go see, like, we have three rivers, like, about 30 minute drive.
Yeah.
And the rivers,
gone.
They dried up.
Yeah.
And then last year, it started raining again, and there were rivers, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, we forgot about this river.
Yeah,
rename it.
There's a place here.
Dude, the Colorado River is basically dried up because the Sierra Nevada snow caps, they only got 1% of what they normally get in terms of snowfall.
Yeah.
There's no fucking water now.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, there's no way to fix it.
I know. Well, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking Brandon, it just ruined the fun.
Forgot it's Brandon's podcast.
Here we go.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord. You out of here?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Jake,
so
thank
much.
You so fucking much.
I didn't want to talk and like.
No, it's all good.
It's okay. Edit, bro. Edit.
Have you had Jake on the podcast before?
Twice, actually.
Oh, I was going to say.
His previous band, and then announcing that he was, you know, moving into
promoting.
The fold.
Yeah. Thank you so much for everything, dude.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
We'll come back anytime. Just hit us up.
Awesome. Absolutely. Thank you for everything.
Heck yeah. And I was just like, Live Bold. I have a clothing line too. So if you guys ever want some like shirts or whatever,
He got
some.
Yeah.
For tour, just
for
message
sure.
me and I'll get some stuff shipped out to you.
Yeah, dude, we'll wear them.
I'll wear
them all summer tour, man.
Yeah.
Dude, we'd be happy to.
When do you guys leave for that?
We leave the first show is September 30th. So we
okay. Because it just takes like a week to get everything printed because they're all custom made.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, just hit me up. Look on the website. Let me know sizes and stuff, and I'll get.
Yeah,
it was nice seeing you again, my brother.
Always.
You take care.
Thank you again,
Jake,
for everything.
Thank you.
Dude, they don't have a home. They have to follow
us.
They're staying with us.
Hang out with these guys.
Yeah,
they were telling me that they were going to LA.
Yeah, they're staying with me and James.
There's a thing in LA called Emo Night. You ever heard of Emo Night?
No.
So Emo Night is like they play like old school Taking Back Sunday. Like, you know, it's like all the music we grew up loving. And it's like so sad because it's just like people. It's just DJs. Like, it's just these guys DJing. And it's like, they get people from, like, the bands you used to love. So, like, Kenny Vasoli DJed from the Starting Line. They had, like, All Time Low DJ, Good Charlotte, Defender Lord. It's
Marcos,
like all these big deal, like, guys come and DJ, but it's, like, just DJ.
It's fucking rad.
Yeah, we played it. They started doing bands. We played the upstairs there. It was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It was the best show we played.
We went to the DNA Lounge when we were in San Francisco. It's
San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they had like this, what music was it? It was like that house,
goth
like
music.
It's like the goth house music where it looks like you're stopping traffic or you're
dancing.
Like directing traffic. And
people
like,
dance like that? Wait, what?
Yes, legitimate, man.
You remember
right
this
now.
Craze when people used to do this shit?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did that, and they were, like, moving their body and twitching and everything. Like, drinks were, like, $9, and I was like, screw this bullshit. Like,
The best part of this tour is beers have been under $4.
We drank through the Pacific Northwest because it was just a free brunch.
So,
we're getting hammered for, like, $14.
I have brunch reservations tomorrow already, and it's going to be insane. Like, the drinks are already going to be through the roof.
Just mimosas and shit?
They're like, it's like $6 or $7 for a beer in LA.
Well, it's bottomless.
Who are you going to brunch with?
I'm taking Overdrive to
taking
bottomless brunch.
Oh, thanks for the invite.
I
don't think I want to hang out with you for like 8 days.
You live with me. You have to hang out with me.
No, I'm going to lock myself in my bedroom.
I'm literally leaving to get away from you. Yeah, he is. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ryan. So Ryan's got an interesting story.
No, fuck Ryan. Don't talk.
So we met Ryan and Brandon on Craigslist. Like I'm so good at finding people on Craigslist.
He is a barter.
Every girl is ever.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with bartering and the internet and all that shit. But and so Ryan lives with like a rapper, so he's going on tour to shoot his tour. It's a pretty
Ryan
good tour.
Ryan is great at photography for sure.
Yeah, he's killer photographer.
Yeah, helped us out a lot.
No,
his Instagram handle is
like,
Dave2OCC. Follow him.
No, that's not it.
False. I was gonna say it's weird because you want to like take pictures of everybody, but I can't physically.
There's no pictures of Ryan. Yeah.
Like, I'll have to like set up a camera and like hand to one of the guys in fucking Overdrive, and they'll like I'll be like just shoot it like this, and I'll just like stand there awkwardly.
And it never comes out right.
Yeah. Well,
have you ever tried the whole the tripod and
then
the timer?
Yeah. It's only his camera only has
no,
a 2 second timer.
There's a way to do it. I'm just too lazy. I'll just like try to like set up on like a rock.
Yeah, the other day we did, we like shot a video, and so we like, we put it on video mode, and so it was so awkward because we're all standing there, and it's like, it's just running video because he'll just like snap a screenshot of it to use a picture, and so we're just all like,
and three, stay still.
Yeah, like, can everybody stop moving at the same time? Like,
James, tilt your head.
Standing 10 feet away, like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, I know that. Natural catwalk.
Yeah, we creeped our way through the Pacific Northwest. We had a good time though. We thug lifed it pretty hard. We slept in the middle of Seattle, right outside
a lot of good beer.
Very questionable sleeping places.
Dude, we slept on a park like north of San Francisco, just like on the water, and it was so dark you could not see your hand in front of your face.
I don't know what was worse, that one or the one off the Oregon fucking highway in the middle of the woods.
Oh, that one was great.
That was brutal.
What was great?
No, I was scared.
We had a fire pit that we didn't use. And we
I
did not get attacked by bears.
Tour.
Yeah, you did.
I had the Baldwin penthouse in the back of the
Baldwin
bed.
Suite. Yeah. So because the way we did it is we have like we have a like
I think
a.
We're on
a
tangent again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, let's get back. Back to
the no, I want to hear about how you guys sleep. I've never been on tour, so I want to know this. Yeah,
okay. So we have a Dodge Ram van. It's like a no, it's not a 15 passenger. It's like a 12 passenger or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we moved out here, we got rid of the bucket seats, like in the middle, so it only has a back row and then the two front seats. And so we put a full size mattress like on the ground in between the front seats and the back seat, and the back seat folds down flat. And so we have like the whole van is basically a bed. So like you can like but
there's like no floor.
But like literally, yeah. So like we sleep like shoulder to shoulder in the back like this.
I
like
feel
next
like
to each
it,
other.
I feel like it's a one of those things where it's like don't ask, don't tell.
Well, but like,
there's like the back seat is like a cab seat where like it's just one long seat.
It's a bench.
And
yeah.
A bench seat, yeah. And I just camped up there.
Yeah,
like,
he's an asshole. He just took
it's called the Baldwin Pen.
The first night I tried sleeping across the two front, the driver and the passenger seat. There's no mid section. That was the last time anyone did that.
Yeah.
I thought we'd switch off, like, oh, you know, I'll sacrifice the first night, and then we'll
nope.
Switch off, and the manager was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but, like, the real issue was, like, so I was sleeping in, I had to sleep in the middle, because I'm tall, and so, like, I had to have my legs go between the two front seats, but no one wanted to sleep in my armpits, like, you know how, like, you sleep with the girl, like, in your arm?
Yeah.
They were too fucking,
yeah, exactly,
they're just not comfortable enough with their sexuality to
they just
to
didn't
want to
cuddle up.
Yeah.
The real mystery is when we add a bass player and a merch guy.
Yeah, where are they going to sleep?
The Alisana tour, we're going to have six people in the van.
It's going to get real frisky.
Just, we just did this at four.
I think I'm going to bring a tent.
Dude, there's, yeah, the camping
tent
help
up,
you guys
maybe.
Out
I'm gonna
so much.
I'm
going to
tie myself down in the roof and just ride there.
Are you going to play?
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if you could, like,
no,
like pitch the tent on the roof of the van. You know,
you might
like,
be able to.
Like, get one of those long triangle ones.
Yeah.
I just feel like it'd be a comic relief kind of thing, rolling down a hill.
Or if you forget somebody's up there when you wake up in the morning, just drive away.
Yeah.
Brutal.
That would happen.
Yeah.
We should tent it, baby. I'll tent it up.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap this up. What, aside from the tour that you guys are going to be on, what are your future plans with the band?
We are releasing a music video. That's all done. We're just kind of going to figure out how to put that out.
It'll be out very soon.
That was a process.
It'll be out soon.
But yeah.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great fucking music video.
We're
doing that. We're working on a second video. We're going to be putting out all the footage from this tour. We'll probably shoot a bunch of shit on the next tour, so we'll be putting that out. We're writing a record. We only have done one or two writing sessions so far because these clowns are always busy, but... we're doing that, and we're gonna try to put out another record next year, like hopefully in the first half of next year.
We
because
will.
We've never written with this lineup before, and we're just really excited to do that.
Definitely,
it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, cause like, and we didn't even get to that. So the band was like a different lineup. It was just me. It was me and four other guys, and then Dave joined a while back when we came out here. Obviously, Ryan and Brandon joined. So we're just like kind of itching to do our own thing now. You know, like write our own music. So yeah, that's what's coming up for us, and we're just gonna keep looking for more tour opportunities and just, you know, keep being smelly in a van. We showered one time in 8 days. This is an all-time low for us.
And that was because we decided to get a hotel. Like,
yeah,
if it wasn't for that.
We had one real shitty night where we just like
shitty.
I just sacked up and just bought a hotel. And it was a baller hotel for so cheap. It was like $100. Hotel Tonight. If you're in a band, download the app Hotel Tonight. It's awesome. It's like you can get like day of hotel reservations.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
It's awesome.
Where
it's good
for
everybody.
Where was that? What's city? Is that?
I don't know.
Olympia, Washington.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
We're gonna put a record out.
Yo, Olympia, Washington. By the way, you gotta get your shit together.
Yeah,
you gotta get your that city.
Except for the place we got
and the beers.
There's a little sandwich. Damn it, I would love to.
They have little cute diners with great sandwiches.
Cute sandwich cafe, which was amazing. Best waitress we've ever had.
Yeah, but definitely
free cookies.
Definitely the most meth heads I've ever seen in one location.
The town was. But I thought we were in Idiocracy. I thought we were in a scene from Idiocracy.
Yeah, it was
fucking insane.
Olympia, we actually love you.
Just kidding. Please have us back.
No. It's okay. We're never going back.
This is just now a black hole where
but
you guys...
Seattle is sick. We fucking love Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah. We'll definitely move to Seattle if we can ever get this thing together. Yeah.
Super awesome. So thank you very much for talking to me.
Yeah, we had a real good time.
It's been very awesome. It's been a rant the entire time, but dude, it's been awesome.
This is fun. This is
yeah,
really fun.
It was a blast
this
for me.
Anytime you want.
This is super awesome, dude.
It's so easy to talk to.
It's
like
mic up our van. Like, this is pretty good.
Do you want to, what are you doing this weekend? You want to come out to LA?
I am so down to go to LA.
Dude, come down to LA.
You don't understand.
It'd be fucking awesome, dude.
Taco Love.
We just go out, we get drunk and eat tacos.
Oh, the missus doesn't like LA. But there's like a couple of like really great like music bars down there that like are frequented by like awesome people. It would be great to be on the podcast. That would fucking totally.
They would
do
love
it.
To,
they would totally do it.
Oh, dude, I need to branch out again.
Yeah.
It's
you got a free place to stay,
LA's
buddy.
Tight. If we have a show down there, you should come down and fucking do the show. Yeah. We're trying to just get our act together, but like we were saying before, LA is so fucking brutal with the pay to play.
Yeah, it is.
People are just there, and
fuck you
back
up,
in Connecticut. People will at least like fake it, you know, like be like, oh, you should do this, you should pay us extra money, like you should buy these tickets with your own money. But out in LA, they're just like, you owe us $180 because you didn't sell those tickets. I'm like, you want me to actually take it out of my pocket and give you $180 right now? And they're like, yes, you pay me $180.
We got kicked off stage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On stage.
Yeah,
we literally on stage with all of our gear.
We were given tickets a week before when we were not told it was a ticket show.
Mother's Day.
They just showed up at our place, and the show was on Mother's Day.
What?
Yeah, so no one was going to fucking go anyway.
Wow.
You know? And we were on stage, and they just wouldn't put the volume on.
Yeah.
And they just told us to get off stage through the PA. We had set up and everything and driven down there. And
was this a major venue?
No.
We were playing with a bigger band, though. Like,
there's a lot of bands on that.
Yeah, there were a lot of bands. And, like, the headliner was, like, a well-known name.
Throughout the whole day. It was kind of like a day thing.
Yeah, it was like a festival. But, like, we actually ended up meeting our management company because of that situation because they had dealt with, like, the same group of people being, like, really bad for the industry.
Brutal.
And like this management company started with all the people that don't like the way that it's happening down there. And so we like jumped to be a part of that. They're called Ambiguous Management Group, AMG. They're fucking awesome. Shout out Todd Koval. Shout out Paula. Shout out Ben Quills and Ben Watts and everybody. They're fucking awesome. They help us out with everything.
Nice.
And they found us because we were bitching about these fucking assholes doing pay to play. And they were like, yo, we fucking hate them too. So we were like, cool, let's team up.
Nice.
So.
All right, gentlemen.
This is awesome, man.
Congratulations
on
everything.
Yeah,
I did see that
you.
Flyer. I'm super happy. If you would like to, you can actually like go into the details about that.
Oh, sure. So we're going to leave around the 25th-ish to go on tour with Alsana, Artwork, Famous Last Words, and O Sleeper. We're going to be in Allentown first, then New York, then all through Texas, then blah, blah, blah. We end at the Masquerade in Georgia. You can catch us on that. And you can get our music on Spotify, Bandcamp, everywhere. It's just TWO, 1 o'clock Courage, 2 o'clock Courage. It's really, really easy to find because no one else is trying to snag our band name. So, you know, it's like that's like another good thing
that's
about
what it
like
is. You have anyone searching, you want to get a good
you know,
band
like
name,
I always used to say,
up.
Like one of my favorite bands is that band. You ever heard of Paris?
No.
So they're called Paris, but like that's such a generic band name. So the way that they got around that was they spelled PVRIS, and it's like it's so like hard to get just like something these days that isn't taken and you know. So fuck it, 2 o'clock Courage it is. Maybe we'll go 2VVO o'clock Courage.
Yeah.
You know, like
whatever saves that.
Roman numerals?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's what we're going to use for our logo from
now
on. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
We're using the Roman numeral too.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so
much. This is fucking dope, man. Thank you.
And that was 2 o'clock Courage. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the interview. They are super awesome, and I really, really do enjoy their record. For unfortunate circumstances, when I saw them, they were acoustic, and it was very interesting seeing their music translated from the actual CD that they have to an acoustic element. And you do hear in the interview that they did film a video. So I'm really, really, really hoping that that has come out or will be coming out very soon, because we need that, guys. If you hear this, like, hook us up, man. Now, if you've been listening to the show a while, you know I really like trying to interact with all of you that listen to the show. So social media, guys, it's the way of now, and it's the way of the future. So facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. On Twitter at TLMR Podcast, on Instagram at The Local Music Revolution, and of course Tumblr, because I'm old school and I really like Tumblr, at tumblr.com/The Local Music Revolution. You can also go through TheLocalMusicRevolution.com, and you can contact me through there, as well as have all of the links that you need to get a hold of me and any news that comes out about the podcast first. Again, this week, the Dirtbag Block of Rock is not going to be on the show. Like I said, things are happening. We're trying to redo everything. And I'm, you know, just following along, making sure everything's taken care of. So as soon as I get more episodes, you will have them. However, you should go to dirtbagclothing.com and check them out, because they're a clothing company, which is fantastic, and I love the clothing that they provide. I have my lanyard I've had since 2014, and I think that I'm in love with it. I've got a backpack, I've got guitar straps from them, I've got sweatbands, you know. The only thing I don't have is their big zipper sweater, which I would love to have. So go to dirtbag.com and check them out, and check out the bands that they support as well. You would be surprised who they have on their roster. Also want to give a shout out real fast to Cold Cock Whiskey, another sponsor of ours. Just great company, great tasting whiskey. It's herbal whiskey, guys, so you might be able to watch your hangover if you drink moderately. If you do not drink moderately, it will get you where you need to go. And do it very efficiently, if I don't mind it saying so myself. But, alas, that is not the reason why I am sponsored by Cold Cock. It's because of the music. They support music, and they support bands. Their website you can go to, which is coldcockwhiskey.com. You can check out all of the bands on their roster. And you'll be surprised who they have on their roster as well. I'm done, man. It's been a great episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Next week is going to be an awesome episode as well. Next week's episode will be the second part, I guess you would call, of this interview. It was that show was 2 o'clock Courage and Overdrive, which Overdrive is from Mexico. The actual country, yes. So they came to the States to play like 6 shows, and that is incredible to me. So I got to sit down with them and talk to them about everything, and they have been fantastic to me. So on next week's episode, it will be the release of the Overdrive interview. I highly suggest checking it out. These guys are very inspirational. And I really, really think it was a great, great time for them. I really hope that they come back and do it all over again, and hopefully a lot more cities on the tour. That's it for me. Until next time, this is The Local Music Revolution. I am Ogre. You are awesome. Take care and be good, everyone.
This is
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 This is the local music revolution. The local music revolution. The local music revolution. 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 Local music revolution.